Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Got some exciting discussion on the agenda for today, and I pray that it would elicit from you your thoughts and comments. You're joining in the dialogue and the discussion, and you can join in this dialogue and discussion any day on the broadcast by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413. Get your call directly through to the studios and right to my microphone so that we can have that discussion together. Before we get into that, let me urge us to pray for those out in the panhandles of Florida that were so devastated by the hurricane. In fact, we're told by those that are in the know with the weather that it was the strongest hurricane to hit the panhandles in history. It has devastated several areas in the panhandles. Pray for those individuals, those families, that there might be strength and peace and encouragement, that God would provide for them and meet their needs. It's a horrible thought to see what you work for and what you have as a home and or business just completely devastated, decimated, wiped out overnight. It deserves our prayers and our concerns and interest in those families that have lost it all, that we pray for them for strength and encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, let me remind you, as I usually do, that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. There are a lot of people that make a lot of decisions based on philosophical rhetoric or ideological beliefs or some denominational dogma. And it's based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations so often. But I say we need to have a fundamental foundation in the Word of God. That God's Word becomes the lamp unto our pathway and the light unto our feet. That we have His Word to give us discernment and insight as to what He'd have us to do in each of the issues of life. And whether it's an issue in the realm of what is called politics today, it is better known biblically as government. If it is in the realm of government, in the realm of theology, doctrine, or biblical truth, the realm of the home, whatever the issue may be, let's look to the Scripture, the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Keep in mind, Jesus encouraged His disciples by saying to them in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be salt and light in a decaying, darkening world today, especially in the day in which we're living in, where there seems to be no right, there seems to be no wrong, there seems to be the moral code is turned upside down, and we need to be we need to recognize the world in which we're living in and take a stand on issues and be able to confront with love what the Scripture says in relationship to those issues that we all deal with. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God says in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The question begs to be asked today, do atheists really exist? Do atheists really exist? Now, I know that you've heard people say, "Well, I'm an atheist and I don't believe. I'm an atheist and I don't believe that God exists. I'm an atheist and therefore I'm not involved in anything that's spiritual." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Notice in this text, God says that it is the fool, literally the one that is unwise, the one that does not have wisdom. In fact, all of the book of Proverbs, for example, ladies and gentlemen, is a comparison and contrast of those that are fools, foolish, and those that are wise. Now, many times there's the argument, the debate about calling someone a fool. The scripture is very clear here. The scripture speaks of a fool. God does when God says the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that can be translated. The fool had said in his heart, no to God, that is, I reject God, or that he is saying there is no God. In either event, it is what today is so often called an atheist, an atheist. The word theist comes from the word theos, meaning God. Like there is the term, the study of theism, that is the study of God, the study of theology, theology proper, in an academic theological term in colleges and Bible colleges and universities, is talking about the study of God. But when you talk about an atheist, that is no theist, no God, and it is saying no to God, it is saying no God, it is literally a person that likes belief, that is L-A-C-K-S, likes, does not have a belief in the existence of God. So the question we're talking about today is, do atheists really exist? Someone said on a military battle with the shrapnel going off all around you, and the atheist in the foxhole is no longer an atheist. When that starts happening, he says, oh, God, and the realization that God exists. There are many times today that folks will say, I'm an atheist. It's talking about there's no fear of God, no reverence of God. There's the recognition that God in their heart does not exist. But ladies and gentlemen, the fear of God, the scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom, the starting point of wisdom. When there's a fear, there's an awe, there's a reverence to God. There are a multitude today in society that claim they're atheists. Just what does that mean? What does the word of the term mean? Do atheists really exist, or is this just a sham? Is it just an excuse for living a life with no restraints? Is it an excuse for living a life of immorality with no ethical, spiritual boundaries? I've said for many, many years, I don't believe there's really a true atheist on the globe. Now, I made a dogmatic statement then. I do not believe that there's such a thing deep down in the well of the heart of the being, the individual, that he is truly an atheist, that is, one that does not truly believe that God exists, that there is no God. And yet there are those that live a life of that, and a life that says, I don't believe God, therefore I'm not going to obey God. In most cases, I believe it's simply a rebellion against authority over the life that one is wanting to live, a rebellion against God and God's word, a rebellion against the church, a rebellion against Christianity, a rebellion against rudimentary, fundamental, foundational absolutes. The question begs to be asked and answered, is there a God? Does God really exist? When we open the Bible, there's nothing, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in the word of God that attempts to prove God. God in no place in the scripture attempts to validate, to verify, to prove himself in existence. The scripture just opens, in the beginning, God. And that word beginning is the word archaia, back and back and back in the archaic times, back and back and back and back some more. In the beginning, God. It just the abrupt assertion of the de facto statement of the existence of God. Then all the balance of scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is not a matter of it trying to prove God or trying to validate God's existence. But after you find the statement in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, it is simply the balance of the scripture of God's progressive revelation of himself to man. But some choose not to believe. Some choose to reject. Here's an article that I'm looking at. Title of the article is, What is an Atheist? Who is an Atheist? And it goes on to say, one that is in disbelief or denial of the existence of God. No theism without God or godless. And this writer says, that's writing this article, I do not think, for the most atheists, however, a lack of belief in, along with the absence of any objective evidence in support of, existence of God, result in a de facto belief that God does not exist. Most atheists would also say, quote, if you can show me objective, verifiable evidence of the existence of God, I'll change my mind, but I won't hold my breath until you do so, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what that particular writer, and he professes himself as an atheist in that article, what that particular writer is saying is, I am saying verbally to the world, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. But if you can show me evidence that God exists, then I will believe. Ladies and gentlemen, he is simply saying, that person is saying, and multitudes like that, they're simply saying, I choose rather not to believe. It is not a matter that God does not exist, but I choose rather to objectively, subjectively, not to believe what is evidential truth. I choose not to believe it. You can tell a child growing up, if you've got the burner on the range on and it's flaming hot, you can say, son, don't touch that. It's hot. Now, that child does not believe, or he wants to check it out to see if it is. He puts his hand on it and he discovers it is hot. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply an objective or subjective matter of saying, mom or dad, you said it's hot, don't touch it. I choose to discover it myself and make the determination. You see, the question begs to be asked, is there a God? Does God really exist? And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in the beginning, God is just that abrupt, de facto assertion of God's existence in society, in the world today. Josh McDowell is a man that set out to disprove God. He set out to disprove the existence of God. Josh McDowell was a law student at the time, and he wrote, arbitrarily and capriciously, perhaps 24 or more books. All of them were written around the basic research that he had done in trying to disprove God. And in his decision that I'm simply going to disprove God, disprove the existence of God, Josh McDowell found God. Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, is a written treatise on his journey as a lawyer to disprove God's existence. Josh McDowell's search, let me just read you several excerpts from an article here, My Story, Josh McDowell. He said, I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than just a carpenter. In fact, that's the title of one of his books, More Than a Carpenter. He was all that he claimed to be. I want to read you two or three blurbs, elongated thoughts to set the stage for the balance of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, do atheists really exist? Josh McDowell was one that wanted to prove that God did not exist. And he said, I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than a carpenter. He was all that he claimed to be. Listen to the narrative, and this sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for what I want to talk about for the balance of this broadcast. Josh McDowell says, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be happy. I wanted my life to have meaning. I became hounded by three basic questions. Listen to this. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Now, ladies and gentlemen, whether you ask those questions or not, every human being on the face of the globe at some point in time asks one or more of these questions. Perhaps you're asking the same questions today. You seem to have no real reason for your existence. You're always searching and never finding an answer. You're always seeking but never being satisfied. Josh McDowell lived that kind of life. He was searching. He said, I started to search for answers. Where I was brought up, everyone seemed to be in religion, Josh McDowell says. So I thought I might find my answers in being religious. I got into church 150%. I went every time the doors were open, morning, afternoon, evening. But I must have picked the wrong church because I felt worse inside than I did outside. From my upbringing on a farm in Michigan, I inherited a rural practicality that says when something doesn't work, get rid of it. So I chucked religion. Then I thought that education might have the answer to my question. So I enrolled in a university. Faculty members and my fellow students had just as many problems, frustrations, and unanswered questions as I did. Education, I decided, was not the answer. Josh McDowell said, so I began to think maybe I could find happiness and meaning in prestige. But the thrill of prestige wore off like everything else I tried. I endured Monday through Friday, living only for the partying nights of the weekend. Then on Monday, the meaningless cycle would begin all over again. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Josh McDowell and his search for God. He was an atheist, as he called himself. And the question is on the broadcast today is, do atheists really exist? Josh McDowell then says, I didn't let on that my life was meaningless. I was too proud of that. So pride came in. Everyone thought I was the happiest man on campus. They never suspected that my happiness was a sham. It depended on my circumstances. If things were going great for me, I felt great. When things were going lousy, I felt lousy. I just didn't want to show it. And then he says here, about that time, I noticed a small group of people, 8 students and 2 faculty members, who seemed different from others. It was clear to me that these people had something that I did not have. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he said they were disgustingly happy. They appeared to possess an inner source of joy, and I wondered where it came from. It was clear that they had something that I didn't have. A couple of weeks later, I sat around a table in the student union talking with some of the members of this group. The conversation turned to the topic God. I was pretty skeptical and insecure about that subject, so I put on a big front. I leaned back in my chair, acting like I couldn't care less. Christianity? Ha, I blurted out. That's for unthinking weaklings, not for intellectuals. Of course, under all the bluster, I really wanted what these people had, but my pride wouldn't let them know what the aching urgency of my need was. The subject bothered me, but I couldn't let on. So I turned to one of the students and said, tell me, why are you different from all the other students and faculty on the campus? What changed your life? Without hesitation, without any embarrassment, she looked me straight in the eyes, deadly serious, and uttered 2 words. Josh McDowell says, I never expected to hear in an intellectual discussion on a university campus those 2 words, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I snapped. I'm fed up with religion. I'm fed up with the church. I'm fed up with the Bible. And he goes on to talk about how that was the challenge that brought him to the point of making the deep search the journey. He said, I took the challenge seriously. I went months into research. I even dropped out of school for a time to study the historically rich libraries of Europe. And I found evidence, evidence in abundance, evidence that demands a verdict, evidence I could hardly believe with my own eyes. Finally, I could come to only one conclusion. If I were to remain intellectually honest, I had to admit that the Old and the New Testament documents were some of the most reliable writings in all of antiquity. And if they were reliable, what about this man, Jesus, whom I had dismissed as a mere carpenter? Ladies and gentlemen, I could go into the fantastic details, but Josh McDowell, as a result of being challenged by a group of Christians, 8 Christians and 2 faculty members on the university campus, when they were different, and Josh McDowell saw the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that emanated the difference in their lives, the thing that emanated the difference that caused him to see something that was different, the thing that caused him to question and challenge what they believed, was the fact that they were saved, they were Christians, they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they knew the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. They placed their faith and confidence in that. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society, a world today that exists because God is the Creator. Let me ask you a question. Look at your left arm or your right arm. Do you wear a watch? Is there a watch on your arm? Is there a clock on your mantle or on the desk? That watch or that clock is the production of a watchmaker. If the watchmaker did not exist, there'd be no clock or no watch. If there's a watch, there must be a watchmaker, a creator of that watch. We have fantastic evidence today of the existence of God. The greatest evidence of God's existence is found in the Word of God. It is not in a college. It's not in a secular community. It's not in a university. It's not in prestige. It's not in position. It's not in a individual person. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not all about position. It's not all about prestige, but it is found in none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is more than just a carpenter, as Josh McDowell has so succinctly stated. He is God, come in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, the issue. Do atheists really exist? You can jump in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you straight through to the studio and right to our microphones so that we can have this discussion together. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh McDowell discovered the God of the Bible, and he discovered him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, ladies and gentlemen, there's a grave problem in our society. Our youth today are sent off to colleges. Our young people today are sent off to universities without a firm foundation in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Let me postulate a challenge for you, our listeners today. You've got sons and daughters. You send them off to a secularistic, a secularized, governmentally controlled school, where they are brainwashed with secularism and humanism and socialism and neo-communism. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Word of God, the Bible, is an absent book in the understanding of the hearts and the lives of the majority of young people today. This is the reason the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, as a large block of humanity in the world today, for the most part, they couch themselves, consider themselves in the group of atheism, or at least agnostics. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The average young person today cannot defend the truth, cannot defend the faith once delivered to the saints, cannot defend the Word of God, even though he may have at some point in time said, I believe in Jesus Christ. We have, ladies and gentlemen, too long in our churches. If a person walks down the aisle, makes a cursory profession of faith, says, I believe in Jesus Christ, then zingo, he's a member of the body of Christ, he's a member of the church, there's nothing else that takes place. But, ladies and gentlemen, that son or that daughter, that grandchild, ought to be taught the Word of God. You ought to have them in a church where the Word of God is taught verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, so that they have a firm foundation of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, so that when they do enter into societal circles where the Word of God is demeaned, where God is denied, where the existence of God is rejected, and what is called atheism today is bounded about as being something that is prideful and prestigious to believe and to do and to enact. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the question, do atheists really exist? And I go back to the fundamentals, that it's our problem in our churches where the kids growing up are simply taught John 3:16, if that, and nothing more. And that will not hold them through the waves and through the torrential downpours and storms in life when their faith is challenged and these godless bastions of liberality called colleges and universities controlled by the government. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said, and I've got four sons, and I said to them growing up, and I say to them today and to our grandkids, I'd rather have you grow up to be an absolute dummy, academically speaking, than to have you grow up and go to a godless university or college where Jesus Christ is demeaned, the Word of God is denied, and God is refused to be believed, and there is the philosophy that atheism is the way to go in society today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that child, that boy, that girl, going off to a college and university can be challenged about their faith, and disbelief is prevalent then, and their belief is shattered. Here's an article. It's an apologist, and that is Josh McDowell, another article. Josh McDowell, he says, when asked the question, what is the greatest problem today? What is the greatest problem? The greatest threat to Christians and Christianity today. And he gave one word, internet, the internet. Let me just read you bite or two from this elongated article. Atheists and skeptics now have equal access to our children as we have, which is why the number of Christian youth who believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith is decreasing and sexual immorality is growing, apologist Josh McDowell said. What has changed everything? Asked the apologist from Campus Crusade for Christ International as he spoke on the unshakable truth, our relevant faith, at one of the Billy Graham centers in Asheville, North Carolina. His answer was the internet. And here's his statement. The internet has given atheists, agnostics, skeptics, the people who like to destroy everything that you and I believe, the almost equal access to your kids as your youth pastor, and you have whether you like it or not, end quote. Further, he says, the belief or worldview, McDowell said, forms values, which in turn drives one's behavior. The worldview, where we are falling down the most anywhere in the world. So what is the prevalent worldview in America today? There's no truth apart from, this is what his answer is. Josh McDowell, when asked the question, what is the prevalent worldview in America today? He says, there's no truth apart from myself. That's what even many young evangelical, fundamental, born-again Christians believe today, he said. Listen to these statistics. While 51% of evangelical Christians did not believe in absolute truth in an earlier survey, the percentage escalated to 62% in 1994. In 1999, it jumped to 78%. You know what it is today, McDonald asked? One of the most staggering statistics in history of the church. 91% of those even in the church said there is no absolute truth apart from myself, end quote. Another study adding McDowell show that only 6% of all teenagers in America, including Christians, said there isn't any truth apart from myself. There was a difference of only 5 percentage points between believers and non-believers on that subject. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear the staggering truth? The truth is that as a result of the internet, and I say it's not just the internet, it's internet and the academia today. Academics today is no longer about academics. It's about brainwashing, making mush, as Rush Limbaugh calls it, out of the brains of your sons and daughters in the governmentally controlled schools. It is causing them to disbelieve all that mom and dad has taught them, all that the pastor has taught from the Word of God and from the pulpits, because they get into that secularized society and due to the internet's control on their lives, and as a result of the sense that the only truth is what I believe myself. Let me read you that again. 91%. The staggering statistics in history of the church, 91% said there is no absolute truth apart from myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It is the word of God that's truth. It's not what I think. It's not what I say. It's not what I happen to have a postulated belief about. It's what the word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, an individual that you might know from the illusionist group Penn and Teller, his name is Penn Jillette. The evangelist, Ray Comfort, had the opportunity in 2016 to spend 45 minutes with Penn, and Penn wanted to challenge him about the belief of God. You see, Penn Jillette claims to be an atheist, and during a course of 45 minutes, Ray Comfort was able to convince him, based on the authority of Scripture and Scripture alone, the Word of God and the Word of God alone, and his dialogue with him, that Penn admitted that God exists. And as a result of that, Ray Comfort, as a movie that was planned, and I'm reading an article dated October the 9th of 2018, 5:08 p.m. in the afternoon on that, and Penn had threatened to sue Ray Comfort because Comfort is developing a movie now that included that 45-minute segment of his dialogue and discussion with Penn Jillette. And he says, Christian evangelist Ray Comfort, whose Living Waters ministry projects included God doesn't believe in atheists, nothing created everything, and Einstein, God in the Bible, as well as many in the streets interview movies, has decided to let comedian and atheist Penn Jillette have his way. Penn Jillette had, through his attorney, said he was going to sue Ray Comfort. So Ray Comfort has agreed to take that segment out of his movie. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's now embarrassing for Penn Jillette is the fact that he claims to be an atheist, but yet on video, he has agreed that based on the authority of the Word of God, that God does in fact exist. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't deny the existence of God. Romans 1, verses 18 through 22 validates that everything that you see proves the existence of God. The creation of the universe proves the existence of God. And Jesus Christ is the first and foremost proof of the existence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Lurking Comedian on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.